Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Be listening on Thursday. We have 4 tickets to opening day to give away and a parking pass.
You're burying the lead.
All right, we have a parking pass to give away. Included are 4 tickets to opening day.
There you go.
How much you guys love to park. Be listening Thursday during the 8 o'clock hour. Let's say around 8:18 on Thursday for full details on how you'll be able to win 4 passes to opening day just around the corner a week from Thursday. Brought to you by KCK PD, accepting applications for new and experienced law enforcement officers. KCPD.org.
Right.
For more information, they are an equal opportunity employer.
I don't know how to do this phone thing, somebody's going to have to push up our next guest, Gene
right
Watson, the assistant to the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, joining us here on the Tonight Show. Hello, Gino.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Are you eating Chick-fil-A today?
I am not. I did a little concierge lounge this morning. I'm doing laundry right now as I travel back to Arizona tomorrow after the game tonight, and just getting the day started, actually.
Yeah, all right. Well, there you go. It's the life of a baseball guy on the road. Gene Watson with us here on 610 Sports Radio. And you were there last
Watson,
night
yes!
at the big game that took place in Miami featuring Japan and Mexico. Tonight, America takes on Japan for the World Championship. And you and I have talked about this. Josh is kind of on the fence. Why does the World Baseball Classic matter, and why should people in the United States be fired up? Because what I'm seeing around the world is pretty cool, but just like we don't embrace it here.
Well, I think when you look at it as an overall event, you know, Japan has their World Series. The United States, Major League Baseball, has their World Series. Each individual Caribbean league, the Dominican, Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Mexico, all have their individual champions, and then they meet at a Latin American site for the Caribbean World Series. But this is truly the one event where the entire world can see the very best players on one stage play against each other. And, you know, there's been a lot of controversy about the timing of it. Do you do it now? Do you do it, take a break during the All-Star break? Do you do it after the World Series? But it's an unbelievable event. I've been to every one of them since 2006, and they just keep getting better. And you know, the thing, Bob, it's a player's game. And when Bud Selig created this idea, the conversations began in 2005. I mean, they went to the players' union and said, what do you guys think about this? And they were completely on board with it. And when you look over the history of the names of the players that have played in it, it's truly an incredible event. It's not the best time in the United States, coming off the Super Bowl. March Madness is going on, opening days 10 days away. So it just doesn't have the same draw for the U.S. fan that it does globally. But tonight has a chance to be the most watched baseball game in the history of television. And so it's going to be an exciting night. I'm looking forward to it.
How do you feel about where the timing would be best? You're in baseball. How guys prepare and what have you. Would middle of the season make more sense?
I have always been for after the season. And you can make a great debate. Well, guys have played 162 games. They're tired. They're ready to go home. But much like right now, the players that want to play are playing. And I am personally for, because you have so much year-round baseball going on instructionally, either the season ends, you've got the fall league going on in Arizona, you've got instruction league, advanced instruction league, winter ball's taking place. For me, I think it's a better time to try to pull it off, because like right now, I mean, you know, Brady Singer and Bobby Witt Jr. are on this team, and it's great for them intangibly to be able to wake up every day and spend time with the greatest stars in our industry and learn from them. There's a lot of intangible growth that's taking place for both of them. And when you're, as an organization, trying to win a World Series, you want that growth for them. It was no different when Moustakas and Hosmer and the boys did it back in 2010. In the World Cup, and it's not any different now. But, you know, Brady's not getting his innings, and Bobby's not getting his at-bats, and so there will be a developmental residual to that to start the season. But all in all, It's a tremendous event for them to be a part of and all of our players to be a part
well,
of.
Well, I want to get to that because we talked about it earlier. I was telling Josh, I was looking at the stats. Like, Brady Singer has pitched like 2 innings in 2 weeks, and Bobby Witt 2 or 4 at bats since he went to the U.S. team. How is this like helping those guys? I understand the residual stuff and learning by osmosis and all that, Gene, but like, how does that help them get ready for a season when they're not doing anything?
It does not. And they're having to do a lot of work on their own and a lot of work on the side. And we'll, you know, it'll be a little easier for Bobby in that you can put him on the backfields and let him lead off every inning in non-controlled environment in the backfield minor league games. But Brady's going to have to be built back up, and that's going to take a little bit of time. And so it's something we're going to have to manage.
And when they're away, are they working on things like you guys want them to work on, or is it under the guise of the United States team?
No, it's been amazing. I've actually been able to be around it, and the conversations that they have, and just really it's the personal habits that they pick up and the off-season training and all the things that they can learn from the experiences of the older player. I mean, Brady Singer is not being punished for hanging out with Adam Wainwright every day. I mean, that is a huge developmental moment for him. And so other than the on-field in-game work, everything else has been really, really good for them.
Talking with Gene Watson, the assistant general manager of Major League Scouting for the Royals here on 610 Sports Radio. And I proposed another fix for baseball yesterday. I know you love all my fixes for the game.
I love them, Bob.
They're all good, right?
Trying, Gene. It's a village. I may be the idiot, but it takes a village here, my friend. And one of the things that I came up with is doing away with the regular season and having just tournaments all what would be the regular season long, and the winner of those tournaments make it into the postseason. And I revised it a little bit from yesterday. I'm going with 12 in-season two-week tournaments. All 12 winners of those tournaments get in, and then the 4 teams that perform the best over the course of those tournaments also get in, and then you have a 16-team postseason with the tournaments, because we love filling out brackets. We love tournaments in this country, and people are watching the WBC because it's the tournament style and there's something tangible to be had there. And if you do 12 two-week tournaments every year, a team like the Royals, who may not be looked at as a team that can compete this year, what if you catch a heater in July in one of those tournaments, you win that thing, you make it into the postseason?
It sounds a lot like NASCAR, Bob.
Yeah, that's what somebody said yesterday. Yeah, and I'm not a NASCAR fan, like NASCAR. Gene, so I don't know exactly how that truly works. I don't think anybody really does. But would you be in favor of doing something like that to give, like, because let's be honest, man, teams like the Royals, you start 6-20, you're done for the year. People have lost interest. This keeps people interested in every market all regular season long, if you will.
Well, I think, and I know you're going to dislike this, but I think the game of baseball has been such a traditional sport over the last 100-plus years that you'd have a hard time selling that model. But it's, you know, it's a great game. The game, the players are continue to grow and get better, and globally, the game has never been better. I don't know that you're going to see a lot of change to the regular season schedule.
So what is going to change to make baseball more competitive? Like, I know there's a lot of Royals fans right now with this Bally's deal going up and, you know, this, they see salary caps in football and all this kind of stuff. Like, I think fans are ready for a drastic change in this sport.
Yeah. And you know, it's I think when you look at the rules that have taken place, the rule changes that have taken place this winter, where there was a lot of people going, I don't know if that's going to work. I think we've seen, I haven't heard one front office executive, one player, one coach or manager complain about the no shifts, the pitch clock, the number of times you can throw over. I think we're going to see a very exciting brand of baseball in 2023, and I think that people are going to be excited about what the product rolls out. It's going to take a little time, especially all these players that have been in the World Baseball Classic that have not had a pitch clock, that have been able to throw over as many times as they want, that have been able to shift. I think it's going to take a little bit of time for all these players to assimilate back into the league and really learn how to use these rules. And I think there's going to be a lot of creativity in the way the rules are applied. And so I think you're going to see a much better product in 2023 based on these rule changes that have taken place.
And I'll tell you, watching the WBC versus a couple of the spring games that I've watched, it's a huge difference, and I found myself missing the pitch clock in the WBC game the other night. I'm like, where's the pitch clock? Move this along.
We said that the first game here in Miami was 4 hours, and everybody's looking around like, where's that pitch clock now? Because because you can definitely feel a difference. And in some of these games, even without it, you can see the major league pitchers that have learned to apply it without the clock at all, and the games have moved pretty quickly.
I was going to say, I think that's probably the end goal, right? That everybody gets used to it, just plays faster, and they gradually like push the clock away. Like, we don't remember it being here. But you're inside baseball, and so a four-hour game is tough on you as well, right? I mean, inside baseball, there is an appreciation for we want to play a bit faster.
You know, I mean, I see it a little bit differently. I mean, I was raised in a single parent family where my mom, basically, she saved up all year long to take me to one Texas Ranger game. And so I didn't want the game to be quick. And I know, you know, my kids who love the game, you know, when they were in college, they would get their friends together and they would, you know, go get a hotel room and hang out. They'd show up to the ballpark a little bit late and they'd stay as long as they wanted to. And there's kind of a flow, you know, to it. For the fan that, you know, saves all year long to buy a ticket and bring their family down to Kansas City, you know, maybe from Des Moines, Iowa, that you know, they don't want that game to end quick because that's the one experience that they're going to have for that year, and they've saved a lot of money for it. But I certainly understand. I read a study this week where the position players are going to be on the field 50 hours less in 2023. That's a big deal in a world of sports science and everything that's taking place with workload management. That's a big deal for the players. And if it makes a player play, you know, 13 years instead of eight, then that's a great thing for everybody. But, you know, from a standpoint of the time of the game, growing up and, you know, that one game a year was an important thing. So I didn't want a 2-hour game. I wanted a 5-hour game. So
I think you do bring up something interesting because I think going to the game, I'm firmly in that camp. It's the consuming it away from the ball field when it's not the experience, the television product or the radio product, whatever, it's a lot of time to have to invest. I think when everybody goes to the game, I don't hear too many people complaining about, like, I'd like to leave early. It's the 7th. But you need people consuming it outside of the ballpark that I feel like that's where I'm disconnected with the time frame aspect of it. Makes sense?
No question. And the other thing that's going to happen in 2023 is the more balanced schedule where cities are going to be able to see some of these stars that they've never been able to see before. And in 2021, when I went to the Angels and it was with Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani for the year, it was amazing to me. You know, we'd have a one-run game in the 9th where there was a walk-off hit, and the next day I would talk to family and friends across the country, and they'd been in bed an hour and a half, 2 hours. So there's a lot of arguments for both sides, but any time that we can get our stars seen in every market and seen more on television and the games are a better quality for the fans, it's good for baseball.
Well, Gene, I think that's a fair point as well, is that this unbalanced schedule or whatever we're calling it now in baseball, I can't watch the Tigers 18 times. I don't think anybody can. Every time you look at the schedule, it's like the Tigers or Twins are coming to town. Now we get to see everybody, which I think is a big step forward for baseball.
Makes it different.
I think it makes it different, unique, and fun.
Yeah, and we have a country now where so many people move around the country professionally for their jobs or their families that, you know, you have families that move into Kansas City from Chicago or LA or, you know, Dallas. And now they're getting to see their teams come into those markets. And I think that's great for attendance as well.
All right. Let's talk about the ball club real fast. Before you left Surprise, Arizona, tell us some good things that are happening out there and why fans can get excited.
Well, we feel really good about the energy and just the vibe of the team has been really great. And the kids that have gone off and played in the World Baseball Classic, I will tell you, coming back, they've all been really, really excited. And that's another residual of it, is that, you know, they've been in these big crowds and intense moments and important moments. And now they want that to carry over for us this season. And I think you're going to see a very, very young, energetic team that plays extremely hard. Q and Brian Sweeney have done a tremendous job of, like, giving players ownership in the way they want to do things and just being a support system for them and them not being afraid of making mistakes and preparing them and having them with the right information leading into games. I think it's shown in spring training, but spring training. We got to hope that it carries over into the year. But I do know it's going to be an exciting brand of baseball, and and the players are super excited to get going.
Well, Gene, I know I speak for everybody when I say we're all Musketeer fans this week down at T-Mobile Center for the Sweet 16.
Wow.
And
would you stop?
Wow. Stop what?
Would you stop?
I mean, let's be honest. Texas may be the most overvalued and over-celebrated brand in sports.
I was just going to ask James if he's going to have to cut spring training short to be back at T-Mobile Center this week.
No, it's not going to happen. But this has been a really fun and exciting team to watch. And I don't hear much from my KU fan friends these days. But it's been fun to watch. And hopefully they can carry it through.
Well, yeah, we'll see what happens. Honest question, though. You're a huge Texas fan, both football, men's basketball. If they lose this weekend, if they win this weekend, is this guy staying on as coach?
I think that's kind of been the push by the players is to make it happen. I think that they have so much respect and admiration for Rodney that they want it to happen. It would be pretty unconventional not for the University of Texas to open it up and just see, you know, what that big fish may be. I mean, and I know you feel differently about this, but it is the University of Texas, and it's, you know, its academics are very, very good. The financial support is incredible, and so it's a very coveted job for a lot of coaches in every sport, and so it'll be interesting to see what they do.
You started with academics. I mean,
hey, look it up, man.
good luck down there at the University of Texas in the SEC. Have fun tonight at the WBC, my man.
Okay, guys. Great talking to you.
Great talking to you, too. That's Gene Watson, the assistant general manager.
Yes!
Major League Scouting to the Kansas City Royals.
Hates all of our baseball ideas.
But he's open to some of them.
I love that he just totally shot down the one. He's like, yeah, I wouldn't count on any changes to the schedule.
Why not?
I know. We don't need 162. We don't.
No.
We don't,
I love the fact that everybody's on board with the pitch clock, though.
Yes, I'm glad baseball's not complaining about this. That he even said, hey, we were at a WBC game the other night, went 4 hours. Everybody's going, what are we doing?
What are we doing here?
Good. That's helpful.
Do you remember, though, like when we were kids, if we got to two baseball games a year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember being a kid, I never wanted those games to end.
Yeah, you don't want to leave the park. I get it.
I still don't
want to leave the park. I don't want to go to the park and go, oh my gosh, I hope this is snappy.
Right.
I'm going to go and hang out and do whatever. But when I'm watching a game at night, I sure as heck want it to move.
Yeah.
There's a difference between the in-stadium and the out-of-stadium.
It's night and
day. Vastly different, I think, than football.
Yeah.
I think there are some nuances with football as well, but the speed of it bogs me down in baseball.
I think, in my opinion, every sport other than football is better in person than it is on television. Football has just found that perfect way to televise that game, and the product that they put out there is unbelievably awesome. Hockey, baseball, and basketball, to me, are 1,000 times better when you're in the ballpark.
There's a new perk at the new airport that I'm firmly against. We'll get to that next.
You're listening to Fesco in the Morning, running 13 years strong.
Everybody's asking, this is a dynasty. It's been a dynasty. Y'all just ain't no now.
Brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology. It's no wonder LiftMaster is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find us at RainerKC.com.
Tuesday, along with Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Klingler, Brian Williams, B-Dub, producing.
It's good, Casey. You feeling the music today, fellas?
A little bit, yeah. It feels good today.
A little Headbangers Ball Tuesday.
Get us going on a rainy Tuesday. I don't think we're supposed to see the sun till May.
That's not good.
And it's supposed to be like 75 tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah, but not nice.
Stuff
75.
To get done outside. Let's go. Let's get
I wanted to do some stuff on Sunday outside, and I went outside 20 degrees. Nope, not doing that today. Back inside. And then, yeah, you're right. Tomorrow's going to be in the 70s, but it's supposed to be much
like windy and mucky outside.
Yeah, this is no good. I'd rather have it zero in doing this than 70 in doing this because you can't get out and enjoy the nice weather.
I have not been to the new airport terminal yet, but
I haven't either.
Everybody I've spoken with has raved about it. Says it's great.
People were complaining about suitcase scuff marks on the floor.
Somebody
said that's our biggest problem that we're doing.
Should keep the place new. Don't trash the place, right? Keep it nice, you know.
Right. So you're going to have somebody with a stick and a tennis ball getting the scuff marks off. You know?
I was talking to somebody the other day, and they're like, yeah, I went and picked somebody up from there for the first time and, you know, popped in, popped out, got out like $3.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. You know, it was like in and out and was no problem. Everybody that's gone through the terminal says it's great.
Sure.
There's one thing there that I know I don't need.
What's that?
This comes from one of our listeners, a gentleman by the name of Josh Chavis.
This is another flight to Dallas.
At Josh Chavis 65. You can follow him on Twitter.
Never heard of him.
Tweets a photo out, says, there are self-serve beer taps in the new Kansas City airport. Deserves more hype, in my opinion. I would counteract and say, not for me.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I've been to a place like this before. I am just not good at pouring beer. I never bartended. I would make a lousy bartender. I pour a terrible beer. And the pressure that there is when you're paying by the ounce.
To not spill.
That or too much head.
Yeah. You're paying by the ounce when you do this. So you.
Do you like a lot of head on your beer or not?
Not on my beer.
No. When you tap your card and then the tap opens and you fill your beer and then you pay that price.
Which gets out of hand really fast because you're like, all right, cool, all this beer.
I can't do it. I can't pour my own beer. I have a friend who's got one of the I'm not allowed to.
How much do you weigh? You got to turn the glass sideways.
I do the glass sideways. I try to do it slowly.
Have you ever stood on your head and did it?
I cannot pour a beer. I can't do it. I'm banned from his tapper.
Wow, you got banned from the home tapper?
My wife says, don't pour my beer. I'll pour my beer. I'm not good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just definitively not good at it. And we went to one of these places once, and I was like so frustrated. I'm like, could someone come pour me a beer? I'm just no good at it. So I don't need this because it's going to cost me too much money. I'll tip you $2 to go.
I'm with you.
Give me a beer.
I'd rather tip somebody to do it and help somebody else out than for me to go back there and do it. Because what this does, it takes jobs away.
Well, that too. It's kind of, it's so
and it's
fun.
Not any cheaper.
It's so fun in theory.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I get to pour my own beer. I am just no good at it.
How much beer is wasted that you pay for?
I was never good at the kegger in college.
No, I wasn't either at that. It would be all foam. Yeah.
And you're like, I could never get that right.
Half the keg's gone because you don't know how to tap it properly.
Yeah. It's not for me. I can't do it. I don't know. Those weird things that you're like terrible at that you could just acknowledge and it's okay.
I don't even want to look at the text line right now of people saying how ridiculous this is.
Pour my own beer.
What do you mean you can't pour your own beer?
Can't do it. I know, you tilt 40, 45-degree angles. Can't do
it. But if it's 46, you're screwed. It's got to be right at 45.
Maybe that's what it
is. You probably been going 44 or 46. Yeah.
Do you pour too fast? You got to pour it slow? Can't do it.
What's the perfect speed?
Just can't do it.
Yeah.
Somebody can do it for me, I'll tip you.
Yeah.
Done.
I'm with you.
I have no use for this thing at the airport. I don't want to see it. I want to, where's the somebody can give me a beer department?
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
I'm with you. I don't want to, but the last thing you want to do at the airport is you got the bag and.
Yeah, it just seems like it's just a bad deal.
Yeah.
You know, messy. You're wasting money.
Well, you're definitely wasting money.
Because
you're spilling
beer.
Half of it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when just they do it for you and they spill it out, what do you care? It's not yours. But when you're paying by the ounce.
Or they're going back and redoing it and getting it right for you. And,
correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. You try to get it right for yourself, forget about it. That's extra 60 cents.
No good. I'd have been a terrible bartender. Certainly not a self-serve bartender.
No.
So.
Have you seen the beers that they fill from the bottom now, some of those cups at like the baseball stadiums?
They look cool.
Yeah.
I probably can't do that either.
That hasn't really caught on as much as I thought it would.
Is it anywhere other than the ballpark?
I don't think so. That's what I'm saying. I don't know that it's like, I don't even know that it's really at the ballpark much anymore. Probably got to be too expensive.
Yeah, it went away with the peppers and onions.
Yeah.
And the sour cream.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I blame COVID.
From the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610, mock away is what I say at this point in time. You want a little head, though, to release the gases.
That's true. You do. Yeah. You don't want it. You don't want it to be a headless beer. Then it looks flat.
Pouring a beer is like making dinner. It always tastes better when someone else does it.
I would agree. Totally agree. That's a great text. I love that text. Bravo.
Went to a brewery in Germany. There was only one person in the entire place that was allowed to pour beer.
Oh, even better.
He could pour a mean beer, and he did it quick and just kept slinging them.
See,
I want to go to that place rather than a serve your own.
Because that's exactly what it should be. Like, that place in Germany that you just talked about is exactly what you want. You want somebody who values the beer. They know what they're doing, and no amateurs are about to get behind this bar and touch this stuff, or I'll slap you.
Yeah. Here's how we do it.
Right.
I worked for a beer company that had a keg on tap 24/7. I got really good at pouring beer. It's kind of like riding a bike now. Right. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Josh should have created a better way to pour beer back in the day when he invented it. Sam Adams, his friend, would not be happy.
That's true. That's a very good point. When you and Sam were sitting around talking about inventing beer, did you?
So I left it to Sam. Like, Sam, pour me my beer.
Yeah. How, did you used to get the first beers when you and Sam were drinking with ladles?
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
copper ladles?
Yeah. Oh, man. When that horse and buggy beer truck came to town,
clop, 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 clop,
you knew that the beers were rolling in.
Right.
Then you started poking beer, too?
Yeah. Yep.
And then during Prohibition, people tried to bust that up, and you had to fend them off with that same ladle.
Me and the monks.
Which is today
why
you have a beer called the ladle.
Yeah.
From Boston.
Last time I got a beer filled from the bottom was 2019.
Yeah, I told you, pre-COVID. I don't think we've seen
COVID
that since COVID.
The upside-down poured beer?
I think it did.
Or just never caught on. It was a...
Well, either one, but it's easier to just blame COVID.
All right. Other things you're admittedly not good at that are silly. Being able to not pour your own beer.
Keeping a lawn.
Silly. Keeping a lawn.
Yeah.
You're just not good at it?
Not at all.
No.
You looking forward to the summer?
No.
Trying again?
No.
How far in the process do you get? I mean, do you give it a shot at the beginning every time, and then you're like, then you just let it go after like 6 weeks or something? Or
I don't know. Just how I feel that day. I thought about going the other day and buying some seed and throwing it down because I knew all this rain was coming. Do you think I did that?
No. It's too early, though. It's cold.
It's too early.
I know. My father.
I always say that anyway. If you don't get done, like, it's too early.
Too early. My father-in-law told me the other day he seeded in January, February, and in March.
Whoa.
Why? Like, everybody else is like, look, what do you mean you seeded in January? What happened to that seed? Like, did that just get frozen? I mean.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel like that would pan out.
I wouldn't think so either.
No.
But I had a mower yesterday in the neighborhood. Lawn looked exactly the same from when he started to when he finished. Nothing changed.
Yeah, because when you sent the picture, I was looking. I was like, I don't see any stripes. I don't see any change from where he's moving to where he's been. So I was like, is he vacuuming the damn lawn?
I think somebody must have just taken the blade off. Like, yeah, sure, go out there and mow, skip. Let's see what happens.
Pal.
Yeah.
Just don't put your underwear on.
No blade?
On.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They took the blade off. They're like, here you go. Go out there and cut the lawn.
Somebody tricked him. Like, I know you're going to mow all the time. Let's watch this.
I mean, there's no reason to mow. We've had a couple recently in the neighborhood. Like, what are you doing?
No. I need to pick up all the branches in my yard, but I just don't want to go out there and do it.
I don't understand that fascination where the minute the sun comes out, you're running out there like a zombie with your mower.
You would disagree with me, but I think you need to do this. I saw this the other day. One, I didn't know there were this many of them, and two, I could never bring myself to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a story that said the 8 best robot lawnmowers of 2023.
It's not about the mowing of the yard, it's the growing of the yard.
And I thought, one, I didn't know there were 8 at least 8 robot lawnmowers.
If they work anything like those Roombas, they're useless.
But I think it'd be great. You might be trouble with the growing, but to drive your mowing neighbors crazy, throw a robot out there
and just let it go.
Yeah. when they're out there, you just go and set that thing and forget it.
How does it know when your yard ends?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know how it possibly works.
Because if your yard touches your neighbor's yard, that sucker could go down the street for miles.
Right.
That'd be the great part of it.
And then you sit there with the blinds shut and you peek through the blinds and watch the stress and the consternation of the neighbor going, is that robot going to come over in my house?
Yeah. It's going to mess up my stripes.
It's bad enough they blew a leaf into my yard 3 weeks ago.
Just for that.
It's getting awfully close.
But yeah, this website broke down 8 of them. I'm like, there are 8 of these things?
Have you ever seen one of these in action?
No.
Do you know anybody
that
has one?
I've seen them
in
a store, but I've never seen one like operating on a lawn. Do they work? Because it would be great. Just like you said it, and it just goes out and does it. I'm sure it's way better than my kid.
Does it pick up the dog poop before it rolls through it, too?
No, it just grates it up. That's fine. I think I clean that thing out with dog poop and the wheels. Gross. But you could actually send it out there on like your kid when they 3 days after you've asked them to do it. At least this thing would go out there and do it. And then drive your neighbors crazy at the same time?
Yeah. You think it would drive the old guys crazy?
Yeah.
Because that's technology at work, and they don't understand that.
I like to mow my lawn. I actually do like to do it.
I don't. My wife and I fight over who's going to mow. She likes mowing. I don't mind mowing either.
I think it's great. I think it's kind of relaxing. I'm not doing it like twice a week.
No.
No, well, you're not old yet. No.
You know what I mean? Like,
I joke, but you're not there.
But it's therapeutic.
Maybe
not
even once. Like once every 10 days, it's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can decompress and just lose yourself in the moment, the mower, the music, the beer.
Yeah, the whole nine yards, yeah. I like this from the 913. Mowing is a future me problem.
Get ready.
Get ready. It's coming. Yeah. You don't think it is.
It's
going to
be here quick enough.
And suddenly it is.
And suddenly it's there, and you're like, oh.
I got to do this every week?
We have a neighbor you can hear mowing because they don't pick up anything. They mow over sticks and large rocks.
Yonks, yonks.
And all of a sudden, your windows take it out because your jackass neighbor didn't pick up the stuff.
With the robot mower's throwing rocks at people's windows.
Yeah, that robot mower could go rogue, too. Like, yeah. You don't know what that thing's about ready to do.
You can't trust that thing.
You're not trusting a robot mower.
You can't.
I'm telling you, the robot vacuums, those Roombas, are awful. Especially if you have a dog.
Yeah, we didn't even try it. Mother-in-law offered one, and I said, I don't know. The dog will destroy that thing in a day and just be freaked out.
Oh, yeah, because we got it. Sorry, the dog freaked out. We're like, all right, we're over this.
Yeah, it won't.
Garbage.
Yeah, it won't be for us.
So what's the ruling on, so like my neighbor, I have one neighbor that mows every other day when it's, you know, in season, when it's spring and summer.
Why?
I have no clue.
Because you're bored.
And then the other guy doesn't do anything. So he's got like a pile of
bonfire.
Well,
that's the worst
one.
Yeah, that's the worst one.
That's waiting to go. And his brush, you know, from his trees end up in my yard. Now, is it wrong if I throw said brush back in his yard?
Yeah, that's an interesting debate. Yeah. I mean,
because this last little wind thing blew one of his, you know, weeds that's turned into a tree, and then now it's in my yard.
Did you bring it over and say, hey, I think you lost this?
So I'm debating, do I just throw it in my fire pit and burn it?
No, it's not seasoned enough at this point, unless it's old wood.
Or do I just toss it back in his yard and say, yeah, buddy, get your crap together?
Whatever makes you feel better. If it makes you feel better to throw it in that yard, then by all means, throw it in that yard.
I'd feel better if he'd take care of his damn yard.
Build a fence with it. Like, stack it on the property line.
It's just so bad. The one guy, I mean, he's out there. Now, you know, we when we get off, it's either we go work out, we have second duties that we go to, or, you know, we try to get the nap. Never fails. On the days where I get to take a nap, guy is out there, noon, 12:30.
Better than 5 o'clock at night, I'll tell you that. 5 o'clock on a Sunday, we got a guy.
Oh, no.
Now, see, that's jackassian right there. So it's 5 o'clock on a Sunday, pal.
Got a robot mower for my dog's fenced area. The big mower won't fit through the fence. It actually works pretty good. Quick tip, though, do pick up the poop first.
Yeah, you got to.
Someone says I was working at Spectrum waiting for the customer to get there, so I checked in the back all the connections and make sure, and this robot mower comes out of nowhere and attacks me. Scared the crap out of me.
I bet, yeah. I bet.
And suddenly that thing just starts attacking you and following you around the yard. I don't want that.
No, you don't want that at all. Oh, my God. Attack of the killer mowers.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to know, and this is yours, and we're getting into that season now, Josh. You want to answer that top text?
How early is too early to mow in the morning? 9 a.m., sunrise?
Well, it's different, right, for weekdays and weekends?
Yeah, weekdays and weekend. Weekdays, people are out of the house a little bit sooner.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You can go ahead and do it, and this is for your own personal mowing, not for the companies that go out and mow. They got a bunch of jobs to do. They might get after it a little bit earlier, but, you know, be kind to your neighbors. If you think they don't rise all that early in the morning, you don't need to beat the crack of dawn to get your lawn done. Mm-mm. You'll be fine.
You'll be all right.
You can mow it like 9 o'clock on the weekends and be fine.
Yeah, I think 9 is fine. I think that's a good call.
Like 8 during the week, good. 9 on the weekends.
I would even go earlier during the week. I'd be like, once the sun comes up, kids are out to school and everybody's about their day, 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Right. That's fine.
Yeah, and if you want to
beat
the heat.
On the weekends, leave it a little later is all. That's all. I don't mind the late mower, though. You get annoyed by the late mower.
I do. 5 o'clock on a Sunday is irresponsible.
I just feel like they probably had a great weekend. They didn't get their mowing till 5 o'clock on the Sunday.
Do it on Monday. Everybody's trying to wind down, get ready for the week ahead, and you got, let me go mow. It's 5 o'clock on a Sunday, man. Put your feet up.
I think the number one pick may be back up for grabs.
Uh-oh.
Not that the Chiefs should be interested, but I'm just saying the number one pick could be up for grabs next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology. It's no wonder LiftMaster is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find us at RainerKC.com. 610 Sports Radio.
Out to the draft
37 days from today, Josh.
Right,
37 days.
The smoke will get thicker and thicker and thicker.
I would
if
imagine
it's not
right?
already coming. We got an early trade. I was surprised how early that was.
I was too.
The Bears getting out of number one. We knew they wanted to get out of number one, but you think there would have been a wait. Panthers jump up.
Mm-hmm.
Panthers GM Scott Fritterer.
Who?
Scott Fritterer makes a mean.
Never heard of him.
Fitterer, I'm sorry.
Is he the guy that, like, don't they serve those with like catfish?
I thought fritters.
Corn fritterers?
Yeah, corn fritterers.
You dip those into the tartar sauce?
We have conviction on multiple quarterbacks in the 2023 draft.
Mm-hmm.
The combine has said if you're going to go up, you better have conviction. And we have conviction on players at that top that we feel good about.
Translation, we're open for business. If anybody wants to make an offer for the number one pick, we're all ears.
Yeah. So we got conviction on a bunch of them. So if you guys want to get out, we'll go to 4.
Right.
We'll do like 3.
We'll go somewhere. If you got conviction on 1 and want to move up, let us know.
We would have moved up to 1, and I don't know. We got a bunch of players there.
Yeah, this is the smokescreen season right now. Oh, we've got conviction on a number of players. We're very happy where we are with number 1. If you have an offer to make, please call now.
Because we'd be happy with like 3 or 6 too.
Yeah, we want more picks and we'll be willing to trade that pick. So I don't know who's the consensus number one overall pick. Binkley's mock drops today. We'll talk to him about it tomorrow. So I'm interested to see who he's mocking to the Chiefs in rounds 1 through 7. And just so you know, Binkley's draft isn't a mock draft; it's a mock Chiefs draft where it factors in all the picks that they have ipso facto tomorrow. Binkley, but this screams to me. Make us an offer. Cause I don't know. I mean, you look around, you know, Josh, at a lot of the different mock drafts out there. I don't know that there's a consensus number one overall pick, and the pressure that comes along with this number one pick. I don't know how many GMs truly want that pressure anymore. Right.
I don't think the Bears did.
I don't think they did either. No, I don't think they did at all because they have Justin Fields who they believe is good, which is a falsity. And if they would have traded him and then drafted another quarterback, now we're going back to you skip Patrick Mahomes and drafted Mitchell Trubisky, and this is why you can't find your quarterback stuff. So I think they want to try to stay out of that as much as they possibly can. But I don't know that there's a clear number one overall pick. We're not walking into this draft with Peyton Manning sitting there.
It could be Bryce Young. Could be C.J. Stroud.
Yep.
What did you say, 47 days?
37.
37 days, plenty of time for Will Levis.
Yep, Will Levis can rise up the chart, yeah.
I'm just saying.
George Costanza could be a potential
pick.
And
if you're like, hey, I'd take any one of the quarterbacks, then, yeah, I guess you should be shopping number one.
Right.
If You'd be like, I could live with any of those guys. I like them all. I have conviction of a bunch. I have conviction of like five players there. Then why wouldn't you trade out?
That's exactly right.
If you get somebody to trade up to one, now granted, you could take the one, but if you could turn it into more picks, why wouldn't the Panthers go ahead and trade out? If they're so convicted that they've got a bunch of players there, why wouldn't you deal out of one and take whoever's available when it is time for you to pick?
Well, because you got to
like it feels like they traded up too early.
I think
you
they did.
Trade up early and go, this is our guy. Because it doesn't matter who does what behind you.
Yeah, what do you care? Just say that we're taking Will Levis or whoever the case may be. Just
we're
announce.
Trading up to one, and we're taking him.
Yeah.
But we've got our guy. That's why we traded up to one, is we have our guy.
But what's more valuable to them, maybe? A quarterback at number one or more picks? I would say the quarterback at number one, but there's always that chance you swing and miss, which means then you have to draft another one the following year. So what? Go ahead and do it, as you've
been
saying
for years.
But
if you're convicted, maybe it's three guys, well,
right.
Who cares?
But if you're convicted right now and you're 37 days out, you're going around telling everybody Al Wisk is the guy that you're going to take at number one overall, and then Al Wisk turns out to be a bum, and you go, these guys were convicted 37 days before. Why did they make the decision so early? They didn't do their, you know, like, no matter what you do, you're in the wrong, and people can spin it and change it and move it in the next direction. So I think if you're convicted at number one, then you make that pick at number one, but I don't think they're convicted at number one. It's a make me an offer pick, but they better get a quarterback, because the gentleman that they signed yesterday by the name of Adam Thielen to that stupid 3-year contract that'll put them in salary cap hell, he's talking about how he sees the makings of a Super Bowl team, to which I go, who's your quarterback?
Based on what?
Who's the quarterback right now? Sam Darnold or whatever his name is?
No, he's gone.
Who's the quarterback? Baker?
Nope.
Cam?
Maybe.
Okay, he is throwing a pro day today.
Newton is throwing at Auburn's pro day today, just in case anybody wants to get a shot at him.
How sad and pathetic.
The 33-year-old former MVP says, you know what? I'm going to go and throw it pro day.
Right.
Which is nice for Auburn's pro day, I think. It gives it a nice little buzz.
A little buzz
for Auburn's pro day. But
I mean, you feel bad for Cam Newton.
Is
like,
anybody asking to see Cam?
Here comes Grandpa. All right, let him throw. He's got nothing else going on.
Does anybody ask to see him?
Clothing line isn't doing the best.
I think they were very well aware he was available.
Yeah.
Nobody's interested.
Don't need pro day to say, oh, well, I mean, didn't see you there.
I suppose if he drops a few in the bucket, then everybody will be like, oh, my gosh, look at him.
Oh, you know what's going to happen. People are going to lose their minds. Oh, Cam Newton still got it. Cam Newton hasn't had it in 5 years.
Yeah. He's just not throw. He just rolls out and runs. Yeah. Just really, really screw with
that would be good. But, yeah, you can't if you're Adam Thielen, declare that we're a Super Bowl contender when you don't have a quarterback. That's another preposterous, idiotic statement. Bad enough that guy in St. Louis compared the XFL environment to Arrowhead. Now we got Adam Thielen out here saying we're a Super Bowl contender.
No, you're not.
You don't have a quarterback.
No, you're not.
Seriously, who's on the roster for the Carolina Panthers at the quarterback spot?
I can look. I don't know.
Dean Pease, is he still playing quarterback for them?
Never heard of him.
He was a coach, I believe. Oh.
What about, who was that guy? Oh, boy. What was his name? The first coach of the Carolina Panthers. Jake DeLome. He could be there. Dom Capers. Is he still floating around?
He actually might be.
I saw something about him recently.
Right now, Andy Dalton.
Who?
Didn't he sign somewhere else?
Andy Dalton?
Didn't Andy Dalton go somewhere else?
He did sign somewhere, I think, yeah.
I was just looking at the Our Lads.
That's who I'm – Our Lads. No, our
Jacob Eason.
Our Lads has got it right, yeah. Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton's there? I thought he went somewhere as a backup.
Yeah, Carolina.
Andy Dalton's the starter
For now, I mean, I would imagine the gentleman they pick in the first pick overall, if they stay there, will be their starter. So they're ready to win the Super Bowl, according to Adam Thielen, with Andy Dalton as their quarterback.
Matt Corral. Everybody liked Matt Corral for a minute.
Oh, guys that have never played in the league always look good for a hot second, then the league figures them out in 2 minutes and it's over.
Well, he didn't look good in the league. He just looked good in college for a hot second.
I mean,
so seriously, Andy Dalton is right?
Yeah, Andy
Dalton.
2-year,
$11 million deal.
Yeah, restricted from New Orleans, yeah.
All right. Is this cool motivation or cheesy high school stuff? I guess you'd be the judge. Bob, Deion Sanders is pulling an old staple out.
Actually, this is one I've never heard one.
He's not giving players numbers until after spring ball.
I mean, we've always seen the not putting the logo on the helmet, right?
Right, or the name.
Or the name on the back. I've never seen a coach go and not put numbers.
He's not giving them numbers.
How is he going to know who's who?
Practice. I suppose they're going to put the old athletic tape on the helmet thing, name on it.
But, Josh, if you're up in the tower, you can't read that.
No. No, I would think not, especially with a big college roster.
Right,
yeah.
And you're going back and you're watching game film, and you're pointing things out, and you're going,
stand out to me.
You know, like who is going to be like taking credit when something goes bad? You know, it seems like it's more work for the coaches than it is for the players. And I think to answer your question, it's Harry High School, man. I know Bill Parcells did this back in the day, and Haley thought it was still going to work in 2009 here in Kansas City. Hate to break it to you. Parcells stuff doesn't work. Anybody still living the Bill Parcells model is doing it wrong.
The idea on is.
But taking the numbers off the jersey now.
Seems this makes it harder on you.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're a coach. How do you know who's who?
No, coach, that was me. I don't think it was. Yeah, it was.
Nope, not me.
I'm pretty sure that was me.
Nope. And you know those names on the front of your helmet when you start banging heads in practice? Those tape things come off right away.
How are they going to start buying jerseys at Colorado if you don't give them numbers?
That's the other thing. You're costing your kids NIL money right now.
Should the Chiefs get Newton as the backup third and short? Or fourth and one?
Yeah, okay.
We can't run Patrick Mahomes on sneak anymore.
Right.
What about Cam Newton?
There you go. Let's do it.
We're looking for a veteran guy that's played, Bob.
Right.
All right. You got me. I actually wouldn't hate if they had a gimmick short yardage quarterback. And you could do the tush push or whatever.
Why can't Bouchel be that guy?
I don't know.
You're a Bouchel fan.
Cam's done it. I don't know. I remember Bouchel running a lot at Texas. Maybe he did. I don't hate the Cam thing now. Okay. You sold me. I wouldn't mind if they actually got a gimmick quarterback. Like, he is our short yardage quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Did that.
I'd have fun with that.
Go for it.
How many people start saying Cam needs to play over Mahomes? When will that hot take come?
None. So
I see Skip up there. He may have that hot take.
That's why it would work.
Why Cam Newton is better than Patrick Mahomes tomorrow on whatever show it is that I do.
Why won't Andy Reid open up the playbook for Cam Newton?
Well, because he's 33 and not good. Oh, okay.
Who's calling the plays there? Andy Reid or Matt Nagy?
I mean,
why won't they open up the playbook for Cam Newton?
You can see it now if they got Cam Newton in here. People would lose their minds.
You just definitively go, he's third and one, fourth and one. That's it. That's all we're doing.
Lose their collective minds over it. He's not allowed to throw the ball.
Yeah.
He's cut.
We're just running short yardage. But then that's fine.
But would you use him on the goal line then? Because then that takes away Andy doing his little Motown and motion and corn dogs and wasp.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you split Cam Newton out?
I'd punch it
wide
in the end zone, yeah.
I know.
I'd punch it in the end zone from one, yeah, I would.
But you know people are going to lose. Why are we taking snaps away from Mahomes on the goal line? He needs to be in shotgun formation running corn dog.
Mm, okay, all right.
I'm with you, though. I'd take a short yardage back gimmick. Just go get the first down.
NFL teams aren't admitting it. Out loud, anyway, there appears to be maybe some tanking ahead this upcoming season.
Yep.
We'll discuss next.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.